Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now it's time for The Watch List, where we give you the definitive guide on what to watch for the week ahead. And Donal Clark, film critic with the Irish Times, and Zara Hederman, culture journalist, are joining me in studio to do just that. You're both very welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Donald, a very special ballerina. A John Wick spin-off. Tell us about it.
Whenever I say the word, I keep thinking of the Van Morrison song. I can't get it out of my head every time I mention baller. Anyway, I won't do that. Sunday morning, the last thing they want to hear is me sing Van Morrison song. John Wick films have done, I think, as much more than anything apart from the Bourne franchise to transform action cinema in this century. It was madly paced action sequences interwoven with, I think, the John Wick case, a kind of insane humour that profited much from Keanu Reeves's presence, who's barely in this one. So we've inevitably ended up after four films with a spin-off with Ana de Armas, who I think people, when they saw her in the last Bond film, No Time to Die, looked at her and felt, she needs an action film. Get her an action film now. And they put her in this, and it's fine. But I would say the fact that Ana de Armas is a very charismatic actor and can do action is not enough to build a film around. And
it feels a little bit. What's the premise of the film?
Oh, she is, as you probably guessed from the title, she's a ballerina who's being trained as an assassin. I mean, if you bring John Wick and the word ballerina together, you know what you're going to get from this. It is pretty good. And that notion of having her as a ballerina obviously makes a kind of sense, because people are always droning on about how action sequences are like dance. And we actually use the word choreography. For arranging fights within films, so it makes sense that you have somebody who is, that's a kind of, you know, interesting parallel. But I mean, for me, I think that this film works. It works best with the supporting players.
Gabriel Byrne.
Gabriel Byrne, despite being one of the nicest men in the industry, is great being the villain. He's always kind of a slight. I mean, I think maybe you're slightly aware of the fact there's sort of a compromise in the character because you know you have this famously nice fellow kind of like pulling on this sort of sinister cowl over himself whenever he emerges on screen.
Does Keanu Reeves. Inclusion in this, is it enough to get people to the?
Well, I think the film is fine. I would say I'm sounding a bit down on it. I mean, I think as it is up there as a quality action film. I don't think they find enough to do for her in terms of her personality to justify her as an independent character. But I mean, it's a classy production with good solid action sequences, and that kind of like grimy humour still comes through. Yeah. So cautiously recommended.
Sarah, I want to ask you about Echo Valley, but does Keanu Reeves, will this be enough to get people out, or?
I mean, not for his acting chops, really. And he is in it like quite briefly, because the ballerina for that one like happens between 3 and 4. But Echo Valley,
this is Julianne Moore and Sydney Sweeney,
and our own Donal Gleeson as well. He's in it as a very harrowing, creepy drug dealer. So this is coming to Apple TV on June 13th, and basically it's from Brad Inglesby, who wrote Mayor of Easttown. So a lot of people are big fans of that. This one is like set. It's been likened to like a 90s psychological thriller, which I always love. People have been comparing it to Tilda Swinton's The Deep End from 2001. So basically the story here is Julianne Moore is recently widowed. Her daughter Sydney Sweeney is an addict, and comes to her one night. Julianne Moore is living in this remote horse ranch, and she's covered in blood, and she says she's gotten into a fight with her boyfriend that Julianne Moore doesn't like, and she says basically there's a body. Now this isn't a spoiler, it's all in the trailer. There's also Donald Gleeson, he comes in as
Fiona Shaw,
so another brilliant element of the cast. Colin McLaughlin of Twin Peaks, he's in it as Julianne Moore's ex-husband. Just from the trailer alone, I was really gripped by this, because it has kind of all these elements of like Julianne Moore is like, what lengths will I go to for my daughter? So she basically takes care of this body in the middle of a lake, and all of these kind of spirals happen.
Do.
So exactly.
As you
a
do.
Mother's
what,
love.
What would, and what would a mother's love do?
Yeah.
Donald, Colin Farrell is narrating the new history of Ireland from Orty, from that small island. How does it stack up?
Well, I haven't seen it, I should say. This is a preview on my part, but I mean, I'm looking forward to it very much. I mean, a few histories of Ireland in the telly over the years, but they've tended to be histories of the troubles, histories of our complex relationship with our nearest neighbour. This one now looks to be bringing us a more comprehensive view at how the Irish became Irish at home and made large parts or the rest of the world Irish too. The title, I think, is telling in that sense that from that small island implies that the series is taking us somewhere else. It feels a little bit as if there might be a little bit of Simon Sharma's History of Britain about the structure, and that I remember him beginning the first episode of that with prehistoric settlements, and this begins in Rathlin, off Ballycastle in North Antrim, and connects with remains discovered just in the last 20 years, and then you move out into diaspora far afield
and
of the West Indies.
That voice, I think Colin Farrell's voice narrating it.
Yes,
I think I'll tune in for that alone. Zara,
top right voice, yeah.
Owen Wilson is back on telly with Stick. It looks promising enough.
Do you know what? I had low hopes going into it, but at the same time, I love it when the Masters comes around. Like, golf is just so relaxing to watch, and I love it. Snooker as well. And Owen Wilson in this. So, obviously, Apple TV are coming off like Ted Lasso. They've had huge success with that as a sports kind of based series. This one, he is a former pro golfer who, in like 2009 in his career, was caught at a tournament throwing his clubs into the lake. He punched his like playing partner, and now he's working at like this golf course, a very fancy golf club, as like a salesman in the shop. And he finds, there's one day he's giving a lesson to an older lady, and he hears a young man with a drive like no other, and he gets very curious. And it's Santi Wheeler, this like young guy played by newcomer Peter Dagger, and he basically wants to bring him out onto the championships and make him like an amateur golfer. So it's actually quite a sweet, light-hearted Owen Wilson. Judy Greer as well, who I love, she's in it and she's great. Mark Maron is in it, and there's going to be a guest star of Timothy Oliphant as well. So this was a nice stick it on when you're watching dinner. It's like,
and he can be very endearing as well. Donald, finally, well, you're a bit of a Good Wife obsessive, and I know you had particular enthusiasm for the lawyer Elspeth Tassioni. There's a spin-off now. Is she getting her own show?
She is the second series. That I'm a bit of a Good Wife obsessive, and like many fans of that show, had a particular enthusiasm for Elspeth Tassioni. And I think one thing that's interesting about this series, I like this series plenty, the first and second. I don't think it's any kind of classic. It's a bit broad at times, but I think it does work very well in terms of its own terms.
For spin-offs, you have to really love the spin-off character.
I think so, but
you?
I think what's interesting about this is that there are several things interesting about it, but it's one of those spin-offs that's actually an entirely different genre to the film from the series from which it was spun off, in that The Good Wife is a kind of, you know, big, messy, kind of soapy drama, and this is a comic detective series, very much a comic detective series, which, like Poker Face, which is also out there in a second series, essentially uses the Columbo template. That is to say, you see the crime being committed, you know who committed it, and then the series involves your hero bugging the suspect into giving himself or herself away. And I think Carrie Preston's great in the lead. It's a bit broad, but I've really enjoyed both series.
And you weren't going to let us go away without you giving it a little cheer there as well. I'm afraid that is actually all we have time for. Thanks to you both, Zara Hedman and Donald Clark. And that's time for us today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RT Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.